Welcome to Coatesville Connection, bringing you interesting interviews and homilies from clerical and religious leaders in the city of Coatesville. Each month, Holy Spirit Radio highlights a unique aspect of the city and its people of faith. And now, here is your host, Barbara Schenkel.
Good morning. This morning, we're speaking with Deacon Fred Kerr from Our Lady of the Rosary Parish in Coatesville. Welcome, Deacon.
Hi.
It's so great to have you on. I know you're a busy man. We appreciate your time. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Deacon Fred, so that our listeners can get to know you a little better.
Yeah, I work in the pharmaceutical industry. I have a bachelor's degree in biology, and it's a double degree, biology, psychology, and a master's in counseling psychology. So that helps me with the counseling, actually helps me a little bit in my role as a deacon.
Now, how did you decide you wanted to become a deacon?
That's interesting. There was what they called, originally back in the 80s, they had a church ministry program that lasted 2 years. And a lot of the men enter the church ministry were asked if they wanted to be going to diaconate. And I graduated from that in 89. And at the time, I didn't think I was ready. But the interesting thing is I prayed to Our Lady of Medjugorje, actually, and said, wherever your son needs me, I'll go. So in 96, I got really sick. I had a very bad episode of hepatitis C.
Wow.
And I almost died because they punctured my liver. Mm. They did the biopsy. But in that time to settle down and slow down is when the Lord spoke to me. And I write about a month later, because I actually had last rites because it was that bad. But I said to Father Romano, I said, I think I'm being called. And he said, Fred, I think you might be also. So he gave his approval. I went through the process and I was ordained in 2000.
Wow. So you've been considering this since the 80s, and now you've been actually a deacon and ministering for almost 16 years.
Yeah, it'll be 17 in June.
17 in June. And what was it about the diaconate that you felt was special to you and to your calling from God to do this?
Well, it gave me an opportunity to serve God and His people. Mm-hmm. And working full-time and so forth, I did think I wanted to become a priest, but I wanted to help, you know, with the people and just... Because I was doing a lot of things already. I was a Eucharistic minister, and I was, you know, in the different men's societies at the church. So I was doing a lot of things. I taught CCD. I taught for almost 30 years, actually.
Wow. So this was a natural progression for you.
Yeah.
Did you grow up in Coatesville?
Actually, I'm originally from Western Maryland, Cumberland, Maryland.
All right.
And I came here when I was seven in 1952. So I was a member of St. Cecilia in that period. Then in the 70s, I moved from home and lived in Downingtown. And I kept coming to Our Lady of the Rosary, so Father Romano said, why don't you become a member? So when they finally made the decision to accept me into the diaconate, Father Romano didn't want another deacon. So they called Father Schlett at St. Cecilia. So he said at first, I said to Father Romano, why don't you want him? Which is funny in a way. But it turns out I went back to my home church, and a lot of the older people said they remembered me from when I was a little boy, so that was...
That's funny. That's great.
It is.
Tell our listeners about St. Cecilia. Now, that's a recently closed, used to be a worship site. Now it's completely closed.
Right.
But a great community, beautiful church.
Oh, definitely. I was there with Father Schlett and Father Mulrane and came on.
Mm-hmm.
And not that people didn't like Father Schlett, but they really bonded with Father Mulrane. It was his first church, and I think he went probably out of his way. But I also think that's his charisma also. He's just a wonderful pastor.
Right.
So, and right now, a lot of the people are actually go once a month, every couple of weeks, down to Our Lady of Fatima and see Cain.
To see him.
To see him. They go to Saturday Mass and they go to breakfast. So they still keep in touch with him. But I think some of them are struggling because they identified with St. Cecilia so much that they're just happy. And I think Father Brennan at Our Lady of the Rosaries doing a wonderful job trying to get people to see that we are a community and they're accepted. And as you can see at the church, we have St. Cecilia up there.
Some of the old statues.
Yeah.
Well, let's, for our listeners, we should say that St. Cecilia is, what is it, on 2nd or 3rd Street?
It was on 6th Avenue.
6th, okay. And we're on 17th, so we're quite a ways up the street.
Yeah.
And up the hill. So for some people who walk to St. Cecilia's, it may not be easy to get to, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so that's the...
I think there's... Some will go to St. Joe's at the West End.
Right.
St. Joseph's, but that would be a long walk also.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're going to have to drive. And I know some people are going to St. Peter's.
In West Brandywine.
In West Brandywine.
Yeah.
And some are actually going to St. Joseph's in Downeytown. And Our Lady of Consolation.
A lot of options.
There are a lot of
options.
What
is it about Coatesville? Tell us a little bit about the city that makes it so unique and special, the history and what it was like in the 70s.
Well, Coatesville is basically a city that had the steel mill and had the VA, has the VA hospital. So when people graduated from high school, a lot of them just stayed in Coatesville and they went...
Into the mill?
In the mill or up to the VA to work. The VA still has quite a bit, but because it was Lukens, and since it's been sold, I don't think there are as many jobs. And of course, a lot of the kids today, when they graduate, they have they think more about college.
Right.
So I think we're seeing people move away from Coatesville, because I'm sure the population has gone down tremendously since the 70s.
Yeah.
I remember, when I grew up, it was a couple blocks from here, from Our Lady of the Rosary. And I remember riding my bike all over Coatesville. And, you know, never thought about anything that's going to happen, but today's a different world.
Must have been a great city to grow up into, because it's a small city.
Yes.
I mean, you could get around on a bike and feel pretty safe. I mean, I love driving down the main street, and some of those, the furniture store looks like it's still the original name.
There are some that have stayed on. I mean, like the Coatesville Flower Shop's been here forever. So.
Hasn't changed.
So it's a shame. But I think that's happening to a lot of small communities.
Yeah, well, especially when the steel leaves.
Right. But they're talking about rebuilding. Their idea was to become like Conshohocken.
Well, we'll take a quick break right now. And as we're so close to the Christmas season, we'll offer up a beautiful Christmas hymn. And when we come back, we'll finish up our conversation with Deacon Fred Kerr at Our Lady of the Rosary in Coatesville.
Oh,
Deacon Kerr, we've talked a little bit about Coatesville. We've talked about your background. I'm just curious to know whether you have prepared a sermon and what it would be.
Yes, I have. Yes, it's concerning, of course, the gospel for tomorrow. And what I'm going to talk about is that the Christmas story is obviously pretty remarkable, but when you look at one particular element in the story, I think a lot of times we overlook this element, and that is that Joseph and Mary cooperated with God, because in a lot of ways that's also a miracle, because he actually asked Mary and Joseph to be part of this profound, occurrence, this beautiful story of Christ becoming man and, taking on our characteristics. So, but the beautiful part of it is that not only did he ask Mary and Joseph, he's asking us today to also be part of this miracle. So the question is, will we help to make it so? Will we help Jesus be born again within ourselves? Will we help manifest him to each person we meet? And will we continue his sacred work? So he wants our help. He wants your help and my help to present him to the world. So that's basically the theme of my homily for tomorrow.
And that's very provocative because, usually we think of hearing the word proclaimed and we sit back and we're passive, but you're saying this requires, and God requires, a much more active role in terms of cooperating with us for the salvation of other souls. So in some ways we participate in Christ's mission. Is that correct?
That's correct.
How challenging is that?
I think it can be challenging, but I think it's something when we look at ourselves and look within ourselves that when we understand what God's asking of us, he's basically just asking us to live a life like his son lived when he was on earth, to be loving and kind and generous to everyone, not just within our scope, you know, our family and friends, but to others that need us.
Right. That's so important. Sometimes it's easier to be friendly and nice and joyful to those who are strangers rather than those who can be around us daily and create certain animosities or certain habits that we fall into with certain people.
Right. Oh, you're definitely correct. And it's just being thoughtful and knowing that challenge is before us, and what can we do that if there's something different we have to change, or is there, you know, another way of doing things that, you know, we can manifest the Lord to others? So it's a challenge, but I think it's something that we can all do.
Yes, Deacon Kerr, and the other thing that occurs to me is that in many other religions or philosophies or ways of being, the idea proposed is a method, it's an idea, it's a way of living. But only in Christianity do we have God made man incarnate. It's a very visible and real reality. It's a religion that proclaims God made man. That's an astounding thought.
It definitely is. And, you know, when I think of that idea, I think of the, you know, what we say as a deacon or priest at the offertory, that by the mystery of this water and wine, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity. We say it in a low voice. So when we're preparing the chalice for the consecration, here are the words that we speak.
Right. It's almost that wonderful idea that God became poor so that we might become rich.
Correct.
Yeah, what a wonderful reality that is. And that speaks to the body, the human body. It's a very important thing. It's not an extra, extraneous thing that's added on to our spirituality. And it has a very much to do with who we are as made in God's image. So we're very material beings as well as spiritual. And that also has to do with how we treat our bodies at the moment of death, and how we bury those we love or take care of their remains. You know, we're living in a culture now where the assisted suicide, if you know, we get to determine when we exit this life, and we can scatter our ashes hither and yon, and we're not really cognizant or aware of the fleshy material of God-made man and the human dignity of our own material bodies. Isn't this a problem today for a lot of people?
Well, it is, but if people look at, I guess, the philosophy of suffering, it's, even though it's very difficult for the person going through the suffering, there's a purpose in that suffering to help God in saving others in the world that are lost. So through this suffering, when we offer it up, we're actually helping God, you know, be present to others and have them come back. So that's the reason why the church and its wisdom is saying, you know, these assisted suicides, you're stopping that process and saying, I'm God, you know, I'm going to determine when I'm going to die. And that's definitely not the way it should be.
And again, Deacon, we talk about the resurrection of the body, which is when we talk about funeral and the importance of taking proper care of those who have died. It's not something simply, you know, allowing a loved one to be cremated and then putting the ashes on the mantle, or be made into something like a coffee mug, which is some things I've seen on TV recently. There's a real sense of the respect of the body because it will rise again with Christ.
Yes. And that's, you know, people, unfortunately, I think in this materialistic world, some of that is being lost. And it's, you know, it's unfortunate, but that's, I think, why Pope Francis is such a wonderful image in our world today, because he's trying to bring all of us back to see that simple way of life. And, you know, it's a challenge. But, I mean, today for his birthday, he invited 10 homeless people that they gathered from the Basilica for breakfast.
Yeah. And, you know, the homelessness in Rome, it's very real there.
Oh, yes.
There are, you know, in America, we tend to think of people in shelters and or under a bridge. And in Rome, they're very prominently out around St. Peter's Square every night. They're on the steps outlying St. Peter's Square or very close to it. So it's not as if Pope Francis would not see these people in the ordinary course of just even walking through the Vatican or walking around the Vatican. There's a real, real problem there in Rome. So he's addressing a real problem close at hand. In your neighborhood, this may not be something that you would come across as you're going out into your car or taking a walk around your neighborhood. But there's got to be some similar problem that you're saying, right, Deacon, that you can address in a similar way, a material comfort or material assistance you can give to something or someone in either in your family or in your neighborhood or your community.
Oh, definitely. I mean, especially at this time of year, I mean, but I think it's something that should be addressed all year, and that's, you know, these food banks. I think that's one way we can, you know, help people that we don't see, but we know exist. And I know there's even in the Coatesville area, there's definitely homeless people that walk the streets.
Yeah, and I should give a plug there for the former St. Cecilia school. I think it's now part of the Veterans Affairs community. They have a lot of outreach to nutritional services and all kinds of things that if you want to check out there in Coatesville, I think you'd only need to call Catholic Social Services, which is using that building as a way of interacting with people in need in Coatesville.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, they are. So that's a very good point.
All right. Well, listen, Deacon, that we appreciate you having you on for this sort of inaugural broadcast of Coatesville Connection. We've been speaking with Deacon Fred Kerr, and we hope to have him on as a regular guest now here at Coatesville Connection. And can we leave with a blessing, Deacon?
Yes. For all those who are listening, I extend my blessing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year.
Thank you so much, Deacon Kerr, for your time, and we look forward to chatting with you in 2017. You've been listening to Coatesville Connection.